Hey, man, is that the Rock News Weekly podcast?
Yeah, man. Well, turn it up, man.
This is Rock News Weekly. Every week, we bring you all the latest headlines in rock, metal, indie, grunge, alt, and classic rock news, this week's new releases, this week in music history trivia, movies, pop culture, and more. Now on to this week's episode. This week on the Rock News Weekly podcast, week of March 4th, 2024, Season 6, Episode number 9. This week, we talk about festival announcement season. Season continues as we have three more impressive festival lineups out this week, from Aftershock Festival in California, Sonic Temple in Ohio, and Best Friends Forever Festival in Las Vegas. Plus, this week in rock and roll history trivia, weekly WTF, and so much more. Everything's up at rocknewsweekly.com. Watch us live every Sunday, twitch.tv/rocknewsweekly, and on demand, youtube.com/rocknewsweekly. All right, it's time for the Rock News Weekly podcast. What's up, everybody? Chris here, as well as David. How's it going, David?
It's pretty good.
We were talking about the week. Pretty crazy week for you. Busy week.
Yeah, lots of just... My brain is kind of fried by the end of the night each night. And then
I hear you, man.
Yeah.
Well, we're about to fry your brain with a bunch of news this week, so...
Radical.
Bombard you with some great stories. There's some funny ones, too, at the end of the story. At the end of this episode, guys, you got to stick around. We're going to explore the Wonka Land disaster in Scotland. Have you heard about that?
I saw like a short article.
Yes. Oh, we're going to play a little video and see some of the fun stuff. Oh, it's fantastic. Looks like a Oompa Loompa meth lab or something. It's fantastic. So stick around for that. But all right. So this week, festival announcements season is continuing as we got three more impressive lineups out this week from Aftershock Festival here in California, Sonic Temple in Ohio, and Best Friends Forever in Las Vegas. We're going to go through all of those and, you know, some other stories. So check us out, rocknewsweekly.com, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Rock News Weekly. Let's get to it. First one up was the one that's a little different here, and I enjoyed the kind of theme here of the 90s emo.
Hey, look at that. That's like our, that's our era.
Best Sunny Friends Day Forever. Yep. October 13th through the 14th of this year in Las Vegas. So.
Karate.
Yeah.
They came to Merced once, right?
I know, they did. They played the Mainzer. So, yeah, we got the Get Up Kids there, Braid, Get Jawbox, Pinback, Hot Rod Circuit, Rainer Maria, Murder City Devils, American Football, Built to Spill, Jesus Lizard.
Dude, this got to hop back in the VW bug and go drive around Merced a little bit.
I know. This one's a pretty solid theme. I like this one. They haven't done this kind of a theme yet. They've done the kind of punk festivals and then the When We Were Young, which was like the 2000s emo era. But this era was like what you're saying for us in the 90s. This was a big era for us and a lot of these bands. What stands out to you the most out of these?
Well, I mean, to me, it's just like these are all the bands where the emo kids wore plaid instead of black, right?
Right.
Like this was like the times where it was a very different type of, I would say, like a really different type of emo music. Like, and really it was just kind of like stuff that didn't necessarily all have the plaintive agonistic kind of sad emo. It was more like just kind of, I don't know, I like this stuff a lot.
No, yeah, me too. And I feel like this was that kind of in between of alternative, and it wasn't radio friendly. This was like what some would say like college radio.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of style of stuff. And it was just kind of a little flash. It only lasted for maybe like 5 years, like a lot of these bands.
Yeah.
From like 1995 to 2000, I would say, is when their heyday was.
It really is all of those.
Yeah, pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I would go to. I'd go see.
The exciting thing is to see all these bands are active.
Yeah, so really. I mean, I would have assumed
this could be like the beginning of some tours. Maybe is the way I look at it too. Is either they're gonna have tours leading up to this or afterwards. It may be a lot of one-offs for some of these bands.
Really, every time I'm looking at this list, I'm like, okay, Braid, Get Up Kids,
yeah, something else pops up. Right?
Everyone, another one pops up. The anniversary.
Yeah.
I love the anniversary. I was thinking about them the other day, and I was like, what was the name of that band? And they always had an organ. What were they called?
Yeah, the anniversary.
The anniversary. They were good.
That album, Designing a Nervous Breakdown, was like their only album that came out pretty much. I think they did like one or two albums afterwards, but that album
was
that was
fantastic.
A great album.
Yeah,
I think I might have stolen that from you.
It came out in 1999. I think Stephen Plew actually stole it.
No, I think I have
and then
that.
Maybe you stole it from him.
Dude, I think I have that. Because I remember never buying it and then finding it in my CD collection and being like, where
I wouldn't
did I
doubt
get
it.
This?
Hey, that's good. It made its way, you know? There's somebody to appreciate it. That's all that matters. All right, so this one's a good one. Downtown Las Vegas Event Center. That's what I don't... The only thing I don't like is that this is usually an outdoor... That's an outdoor type of setting, you know?
Oh, yeah. When is this?
October 10th through the 13th, or 11th through the 13th.
When was that one you went that was outside and it was kind of miserable?
It was in May. And
oh, gosh,
yeah.
So October it might be
okay.
I don't know.
It's still
pretty hot. Huh?
Around this time, it was hot in Sacramento for Aftershock last year, so which is the same dates, I will point out, as Aftershock as we get to that in just a bit.
Mm.
But first up, we got Sonic Temple. Very... you'll see it's very similar to the lineup for Aftershock. So what they're doing now, I do like the way they kind of divide this into four stages here, and then they have each day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's a very, like we were saying, they're ripping off kind of the European festival lineups, the way they do it and lay it out.
Very methodical.
It's nice, though, because it gives you an idea of each stage and each day and who's going to be playing kind of how it's going to go. You know,
yeah, I appreciate that.
Who's headlining the stages, so to speak. Yeah, so Cypress Hill out there. Mr. Bungle, pretty cool pull. The original Misfits on the Sonic Temple lineup. Yeah, some, you know, kind of run-of-the-mill stuff. Sleep Token out there, that's pretty awesome.
Tech Nine.
So, yeah, they gotta have a couple rap ones, alternative rap. Tech Nine's out there, Cypress Hill as well. So this one's a pretty solid one, Sonic Temple. This one happens in Columbus, Ohio, and it's May 15th through, or 16th through the 19th. So there you go, guys. Sonic Temple in Ohio.
Ohio. They should have had it in a mental hospital.
I know. Where was the other one? The penitentiary?
The penitentiary.
Yeah, they could have the mental hospital.
And
you get a free straight jacket. And
yeah.
You can just run around like...
A Slipknot. They give you a free straight jacket and a Slipknot mask.
That would be awesome. All right, so check it out. Not too dissimilar here. Aftershock Festival.
Yeah, a lot of the same bands, actually.
Yep. It's the same producer, so Danny Wimmer Presents puts on both festivals. Okay. So there's definitely a lot of both here. Aftershock, 10th through the 13th of October. The West Coast performance of Slayer Reunion. We got the only U.S. festival appearance from Iron Maiden, I will point out, which is pretty solid. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Judas Priest on the same day as well as Iron Maiden. So that Friday is going to be pretty awesome for the fans for the UK. They're going to be all over the place.
Now, remind me, what was our issue we were talking about with Tom Morello and with Rage Against the Machine? Because I'm seeing him there.
Exactly. So this is like kind of an example of the guys from Rage doing solo stuff now.
Yeah.
Because there was a statement from Brad Wilk, I think it was, the drummer. That said, well, it was like something like, we, as much as I want to or whatever, we're not going to be performing live as Rage Against the Machine in this current incarnation of Rage Against the Machine or whatever. And it was kind of very vague, and now we're seeing Tom Morello solo dates, so, you know, they got to make their money, they got to do their thing. I'm wondering about the rest of the guys like Tim Comerford and Brad Wilk. I know they get gigs maybe playing with other bands and stuff, especially Brad Wilk, but... Tom Morello, doing some solo stuff. So Rage Against the Machine, definitely kind of putting the kibosh on that.
And that's on the same day as Flogging Molly.
Flogging Molly. Dropkick Murphys out there as well. We got the Pantera reunion. We got Cypress Hill on this one. I don't know if you noticed down on the bottom left, but Insane Clown Posse.
No way.
Is going to be there for the first time. They are headlining one of the stages. And I will also point out, guys, if you haven't noticed, there is five stages now. They added a fifth stage. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stages now at Aftershock. So last year was the first time that they officially did 4 days. Now they've added a fifth stage. So that's a whole nother 25 bands that they're able to fit in there.
That's cool.
Pretty wild. So it's
have you ever listened to Skillet?
Skillet, I mean, they're a pretty generic rock radio band.
Well, I was just going to say, like, a name
Christian
like Skillet.
Themed. They're Christian themed,
Is that because they have a lot of cookouts and stuff like that?
I don't know why, actually, what the connection is there.
They're like,
No, it's like they're just like always like this positive kind of like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Stand up and, you know, don't
make pancakes.
No, it's not food themed. Not food themed. I don't know. They're just
have
like
some bacon yeah. that we made for you.
Fry up some potatoes. No. Sorry.
Sorry.
They're kind of a
yeah, yeah. I don't mind that. I don't mind that, I guess. That's fun.
But some of the good ones, they're definitely not one that I would point out as a highlight for me. Actually, Sunday, I will say, is the day that we're thinking about leaving early and not going at all. And because for me, it's just not as, I don't know how you say
it's
it.
It's just
like,
not the day for you.
We're burned out, to be honest. We go all 4 days. We do media. We get there and we're working the event. And by Sunday, we're just like exhausted, man. We always show up late on Sunday. We don't get there in the beginning. And to be honest, it's a lot of the generic shit that I really don't want to see, like Disturbed, Motley Crue, Seether, Skillet, Falling in Reverse, Nothing More, Set It Off, Resort, Shadows Fall, not in, too into them. Fear Factory, I would be into. Flogging Molly, Pup.
Yeah, the ones that I see, Flogging Molly, I'd want to see that. Tom
Eagles
Morello.
Of Death Metal, they're pretty cool. Head PE. But to be honest, that's not enough for me at that point after 3 days already before that. So we're thinking of saving money on the hotel and taking off an extra day early. But the rest of the lineup is really great. Like Thursday, Friday, Saturday is stacked. There are so many great bands that I'm really excited to see. So, yeah. But Aftershock, great lineup as always. We're going to be out there probably, fingers crossed, for media, interviews, all that good stuff. And it's going to be another great year. So October 10th through the 13th in Sacramento,
nice.
Guys. Check it out, aftershockfestival.com. All right, some rock news this week. We don't have too many stories other than those festival lineups, but Avenged Sevenfold is doing something kind of revolution. I don't want to use that term, but it really is in the music and concert world. This kind of thing that they're doing is kind of a revolutionary thing. It's this Amaze VR concert collaboration, and they're kicking it off with Avenged Sevenfold being the first band that they're doing this with. And what it is a 26-minute virtual reality concert, and they're saying it's raising the standards of one-to-one entertainment and concert experiences. M. Shadow says, this is the lead singer of Avenged Sevenfold, "Lots of our fans already know the intricacies of our performances, but I think they're going to be blown away when they can get closer than ever before. The app is available via Apple and Meta Quest. The concert, immersive concert Looking Inside is available now to download at the Amaze VR app. The concert is a one-time purchase, and you keep it forever. Not unlike live shows, Blu-rays, or music videos, this is its own experience." And they say they're extremely proud of how it came out. So, I'm curious, what do you think of stuff like, we were talking about this before, where maybe this is the way concerts, not like they're going to replace live concerts or anything, but give fans maybe like a chance to get like a immersive kind of behind the scenes experience where you could like kind of maybe move the camera around yourself, go behind the drum kit, go right up to the vocalist, go right in front of the guitar, and see his fingers.
Yeah, I'm kind of like wondering how it works. Like, do you think there's some sort of, like, is there some sort, you know, like you got the Google car that like drives through and
yeah.
has like the, is there going to be some sort
yes.
of ball or something?
Well, there's a 360 degree camera type
yeah.
thing that supposedly they film it around a green screen.
Okay.
So they're performing.
So it's like
in
they're
a green
in
screen.
A green screen.
Yeah,
room.
They're performing
okay.
in a green screen. And then this immersive experience is, I'm not sure if you're able to manipulate the camera yourself or if they just kind of use that camera and then you're able to pick the views later, and I'm not sure exactly how that process works, but I do know it's something along those lines.
Okay.
And they're filming it in a green screen environment, and it kind of allows for it to be like, you know, you're able to go anywhere and kind of look anywhere in it.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think I have like a little picture of, let me see if this link actually works for it, but what do you think of that just off of the way it's described there?
Well, do you want me to be honest?
Yeah,
be
honest.
I don't really like it.
You think it's a gimmick, or do you?
Well, I mean, to me, it's like
just not.
It's still a video.
It.
Like it's still like you're still. I mean,
long
I know
time.
VR
this is another
cool.
way.
Right.
VR is pretty cool. Like it's cool that it's like so realistic, but like it still isn't real.
Right.
You know? Like, and that's the whole fun of a concert for me is like that
is
you're
being
actually
there and
there.
It's real.
It's like real.
I totally hear you. All right, well, check it out. Let's play a little bit of this, and we'll share the screen, and people can see it. And this is like, I guess, Avenged Sevenfold talking about this, so, and kind of giving us a little preview. So, oh, wait, let me switch to the other display capture. Let's do live, and then we do display capture. There we go. Check it out, guys. Okay. Come on, internet.
Man, I wish I had that much style.
To be, well, that you were in a rock band, that yeah. You could not care about literally anything.
That I could have, like...
Why isn't this
loading,
man?
It's interesting that all three of those guys, all like four guys have the same haircut. And then one has decided to have a different one.
Why is this? I guess it's because I'm streaming and my wife is streaming out there. I don't know why my internet's... right in the middle of this as I'm trying to do this. I don't know. Sorry, guys. You get the
it
point.
Happens.
I don't know. Go look it up yourself, even though that's why you're here. I don't know what's going on there. Anyway, it's just a green screen kind of VR experience. It is a live performance, but it is filmed in that type of capacity. So,
what do you think?
I think it's going to be the future of this stuff, unfortunately, like it or not. And it's going to be... either like a VIP add-on, or it will be like a standalone type of experience in itself. And I think
you
it's
think
the
it's
future
like
of
possibly
Blu-rays and stuff.
Like a cost-cutting measure? Like they're like, oh, we can still sell a bunch more tickets. Because that's my thing is when I see this, it just reminds me of online classrooms.
What
it's like,
you got to look at it too is that people don't, bands especially, don't want to give away the live performance anyway. Like what you're talking about, like how you get a kick from... actually being at a live concert, right?
Yeah.
This isn't meant to replace that. What it is it's its own thing as a separate, like, kind of experience that they're marketing now as a latest up-to-date type of feature.
I see.
And they don't want to take away from their live concert experience and have that as a thing you can do. So I actually see this, instead of bands putting out, like, Live at Budokan, Cheap Trick, Blu-ray, here's their full live concert. They'll put out a 26-minute virtual reality concert instead because it doesn't give away their live concert. You're still going to want to go out and see it.
Okay.
And then this
right.
is a whole nother angle of seeing their live show. To me, it's like, for example, I like watching drumming videos where it's the drummer of the band and all it's focused on is just the drummer, right?
Oh, okay.
So if I can do that in one of these virtual reality concerts where I can sit there and watch just the drummer for the 26-minute long video.
You can look at exactly what
and
you
I can
want
look,
to see.
Yeah, and I can go to his drums and go over
that
him.
That makes sense.
Then I, you know, I'm into that. I don't
yeah,
know if I necessarily
angle,
pay
that does
for
sound
that.
Really cool, actually.
But yeah, but okay. I think it's meant to be a different... It's definitely different than a live concert, you know, replacement. But I feel like this is the future of that, and I feel like a lot of bands are going to start messing around with this type of thing, you know. And yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, there's going to be bands that are going to be creative about it and do like kind of one-off performances, you know, that like a virtual reality Halloween concert, a virtual reality whatever type of. They could have a theme. They could do a concert where it's based off of an album. And they have all the artwork from the album. Like, think about Las Vegas and the Sphere, you know? How it's like a totally contrived media event where it's like they thought about the set list and the songs and the media months ahead of time to where they're putting on this experience in like a 360-degree type of atmosphere, right? And the Sphere is like an example of where live music is going that way. And this is kind of an offshoot of that, I think, you know? It's their own Sphere, you know, experience, but like in a smaller setting.
Well, and also it does kind of present possibly like, in some ways, is a totally new media
yep.
that you can do different things
right.
with.
And that's
like
what
a
I
different
like
kind of art.
Yeah, and that's right. what I like about this kind of thing. And Avenged Sevenfold, as being one of the ones to do it, they're very like integrated in video games and stuff like that. They're very forward thinking as far as that stuff goes. So they're one of those bands that likes to try these new kind of forms of interaction, you know?
Okay.
And I dig it, but yeah.
Well, you have influenced me.
Well, I hope that's the intention anyway. Outside looking in, that's the way it seems to me. Anyway, all right, so yeah, let's keep it going here, though. What else we got this week? Oh, yeah, there was some sad news, but good news, as Kansas drummer Phil Earhart suffered a major heart attack this past week, and he's going to be unable to join the band on the road for their upcoming 50th anniversary tour. The band posted that right now there isn't a timeline for his return to the road. While not on the road, though, Phil is remaining a prominent role with Kansas during his recovery, serving as the band's manager as he has done for 40 years. I didn't know that. I didn't know he was the band's manager, which is pretty cool. Eric Holmquist, who has filled in for Earhart in the past, will be on the drums. So their 50th anniversary tour is still scheduled, and it actually kicked off on Friday, March 1st, in Richmond, Virginia. And speedy recovery to him, but he survived, and, you know, it could have been more tragic, but...
Yeah.
That drumming gig, man, that's a tough gig. And, you know, to be... How old was he? How old is he? 60-something? I guess it didn't say his age here, but...
Well, he's been drumming for 40 years, so...
Yeah, in Kansas.
So he's got to be, you know...
At least 60-something.
60-something.
So, yep. All right, well, he's doing better, so it could have been worse. All right, we got some birthdays this week. Let's get to the birthday section. Let's go.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
All right, birthdays. Take it away, David.
All righty. Happy birthday, Roger Daltrey, whose lead singer is 80 years old.
Real quick, I want to point out, he's holding his own beer, I guess, that was made for him this week. It's a custom beer, and I can't remember the name of it. It was like Roger Daltrey's Ale or something like that.
Oh, really?
And they had
Daltrey?
Yeah, it's something like that. And they had him custom made for his 80th birthday. So I thought he looked pretty darn good for 80 years old, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so good for him.
Chris Martin, lead singer of Coldplay, is 47.
Why is he's always like smiling and laughing. I will say that every time I see that
guy, fella.
He is a happy guy.
Yeah.
Must be all the millions of dollars
right?
that
he's like,
he sleeps on every night.
I'm a millionaire and I sleep with beautiful women. Right? Mark Evans, original bassist of AC/DC, happy birthday on this year's 68th. Dave Amato, guitarist of REO Speedwagon, also played with Ted Nugent, 71 years old.
That's it for the birthday. It's kind of a short week.
And
it's
my mom's birthday today.
Oh, nice. Happy birthday, David's mom.
All right. How about some trivia? You ready? Let's
do it.
This week
in rock and roll history
trivia.
All right. This week in rock and roll history trivia. March 2nd, 1983. A legendary date. The compact disc and the CD player is introduced by Sony and Philips.
Wow.
What was the first ever CD that was sold commercially in the United States in 1982, when this was right around the time of the release? Was it Bruce Springsteen, Nebraska, ABBA, The Visitors, Billy Joel, 52nd Street, or was it New Wave Crosby and the Cocaine Tron Experience, Life is But a Digital Dream? Very obscure CD. It didn't sell well, but significant nonetheless.
I think I... the Tron Experience. I just imagine him like on like the...
With the light.
Like the light thing.
The light cycle.
Or whatever, the cycle. Or
like his hair blowing hair the, yeah, blowing hair in the wind.
Newsboy hat. Like a metal newsboy hat or like a plastic newsboy hat?
Yeah.
I think it's Billy Joel.
Billy Joel.
That's what
right.
That's what I'm gonna guess.
Go on, Billy Joel. Let's see if he's right. He's correct.
Oh yes.
Nailing it.
One.
You nailed it this one. Week. Billy Joel, 52nd Street. The first ever CD that was pressed was in 1982. Here's the thing. Swedish supergroup ABBA used their record The Visitors as the guinea pig for the new format, but Billy Joel is recognized as the first sold in the U.S. 52nd Street was pressed after The Visitors, but it was the first to be sold commercially in the U.S. Look at this great classic ad of the first CD player. Isn't that great?
So, I didn't realize that CDs were sold since 1982.
Yeah.
That's amazing to
me. Isn't that wild?
But yeah. I guess, I mean, I don't know how, I was probably 10 years, maybe 8, something years old when we first got a CD player. Mm-hmm. So I guess, yeah, not too long.
They were like $1,000, $3,000, I think they were saying, $1,000 bucks, something like that. I think it was $1,000.
We still have our CD player from back in those days.
Yeah.
I have it.
Oh, you, it does
works.
It work?
Yeah,
it works. Oh, some of those are fantastically built, man.
Yeah,
you probably
it's a
have
JVC.
A gem. Oh, yeah.
It's really a good CD player.
You got
player.
A gem. Nice. All right, so there you go. New rock and metal albums out this week.
Yes.
All right, so David, take it away.
All right, so got The Alienist, Love, Hate. That looks like a nice cover there.
Looks like a gray heart.
Kind of a like a tree combined with a heart,
right.
Kind of a thing. Bayrevra?
Yeah, I
Echoes,
guess.
Vanished Lore of Fire.
Some nice heads on a stake there. It looks
yeah.
like a nice family album. Maybe
yeah.
good for a road trip with the
is
fam.
Is that the, that's after the battle is
it
over.
Seems. That's to intimidate the enemies, you know.
But who, I mean, I want to know what race of beings those are.
Well,
are they hobbits?
This is the Vanished Lore of Fire, so to learn
yeah.
the lore, you need to listen to the album.
I wonder if they're it, dude. If that's a thematic, like, story
be.
Type album, that's great.
It could be.
Blind Channel, Exit Emotions. And there's like a little spiky ball,
little chain.
A mace there. Bruce Dickinson, The Mandrake Project. And it's, yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Like
it's like a coin with a
commemorative coin there. For a limited time only, get your Mandrake coin. Clouds Taste Satanic. 79 AE. Okay.
Yep.
All right. I like that one.
It's a nice view. Nice view from whatever planet
it
they're
reminds,
on.
It's like kind of Pink Floyd-esque.
Yeah.
Something like that. All right. Defocus. There is a place for me on Earth.
That looks like what happens when Wile E. Coyote falls in the ground.
Yeah. Well, no, that's what I expected. What's the name of the band with the guy from Rammstein in it?
Oh, Till Lindemann.
Till Lindemann. That's what I expect the albums from them
something
to look like.
Something more German.
Yeah, yeah. Light. And well, like, maybe it would be black, but it like
right.
light coming through the window, you know. Devastator, Conjurers of Cruelty, and that's classic.
That's
I mean,
a classic
that.
One.
That's
yeah,
classic.
That's a good one.
Enslaved, Heimdall, Deluxe Edition.
Looks like a nice shoreline.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Really. That's more like a. It's more like an Antarctica scene.
Yeah, like a Game of Thrones shoreline.
Firewind, Stand United. Mannequin, Pussy. I Got Heaven.
Yeah, as a naked lady stands there with a pig.
With a pig. Maybe that's the mannequin.
I don't
Ministry,
know.
Ministry, Hopium for the Masses. I like the name of that one.
Yeah, and he's got the mushrooms
the
and
mushrooms
the weed growing
out of the head. Yeah, I like that. Saturnalia Temple, Revel in Dissidence. Sheer Mag, Playing Favorites, Suicidal Angels, Profane Prayer, Surgical Strike, 24/7 Hate.
Look at, they're like in the Matrix. They're
yeah,
in their
is that?
Matrix pod.
Yeah, they're in their Matrix pod. They're like watching pirate shows on TV, and there's another.
It's like AC/DC.
Yeah,
like.
AC/DC or something. That reminds me of that one Black Mirror episode where they have to like ride bikes.
I've never seen it. Yeah, I haven't seen Black Mirror yet.
It's pretty good. Tigers on Opium, Psychodrama. T-Soul, Aside Graffiti. Isn't that the test you have to take before you like come to college in America if you're a non-English speaker?
T-S-O-L. Right?
Volcandra, The Way of Ancients.
That's a cool one.
Yeah, that's very like
that one
Iron
looks
Maiden.
Like it has a lore to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A story.
Zach Sabbath, Doomed Forever, Forever Doomed.
All right. I think that's it for the albums. All right, so we're going to get to the
what?
The story of the meth lab Oompa Loompas
no,
in Scotland.
Gosh.
So, this Willy Wonka experience apparently left some kids in tears. Cops were called. It was a pretty bad thing. So, all right, so check this out.
I did not read that.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, I hadn't heard that.
All right, so we're going to see if this one will play. I don't know if it's going to play or not. Let me go back to sharing the screen. So we're going to go to this and see if I could play the news article for you guys. And if we can't, then we'll just talk about it. But yeah, this is happening in Scotland. Apparently they use this Willy Wonka website. Let me show you that first. Because they use this website that looks
they
really
use,
great.
Like, AI to make it.
Right.
Really cool.
So you go to the website. I'll share it with you guys. Of course, you can. If you're listening, you can watch on our YouTube channel on demand now and check this out. So here's the Willy Wonka's, it's willyschocolateexperience.com. And the website's still up and running. And it says tickets, you know, look at, oh, it looks amazing. Look at, oh, you know, there's the enchanted garden. Who knows? Perhaps you can grow your own very enchanted garden yourself. Imagination Lab, woo. Optical marvels and exhibits that transport you into the realm of creativity. Wow, that looks great. Twilight Tunnel. Surprising Twilight Tunnel, twists and turns. Ooh. But then you could see the flaws in the AI. Look at this, like, churning entertainment.
Churning.
And then look at
Karchi Tons.
Karchi Tons. A passadice of sweet treat, sweet teats. A passadice of sweet teats.
Exasperdre lollipops. What? Oh, no, Exasperdre lollipops.
Like, what the hell, right?
Karchi Tons?
And
sweet
so, this is in Glasgow in Scotland. They're selling the tickets for $40 a pop, right?
Oh my gosh.
So people bought tickets, and then the actual reality of it was far different from what was on the website. As you could see from some of these photos, they had just like a little simple banner. They had like a couple random props sticking up and out there. And let's see if we can watch this video here, and you guys can see this. Here it is. And it was organized, I will say, look at this. It's organized by a group called House of Illuminati. So,
oh, they're all powerful.
That's the organizing group. Promised an enchanting day out. So I gotta say, if you paid $40 for this, how would you feel about this? Would you feel like you got your money's worth?
That's depressing.
It's pretty bad,
I'd
right?
I'd be like, shame us. What have you sent me to?
One of these photos here, look at the Oompa Loompa from the knockoff Wonka Land experience looks like she's running a literal meth lab.
Dude.
And is seriously questioning the life choices up until this point.
The life choices.
If you scripted this, I would say it was too on the nose. Look at her. She does. I mean, that looks pretty terrifying. There's like all this smoke
in the air.
She looks like she just woke up.
Really unhappy looking.
Where's the other picture? There's another one. Oh man, I can't find it. Of Wonka. It's like this guy, and he's
actually. What did I say? Actually in awe.
Yeah, actually in awe.
Outstanding.
Yeah, actually in awe of how fucking grim this is.
Oh,
how grim this is. Fucking outstanding. Yeah, these shots don't do it justice. I mean, it looks really bad. They're like. I would be just blown away, just like,
well,
oh my
and it's
God.
Like in like cement floors.
It's an empty
like
warehouse,
stark white warehouse. Okay, so this is the thing that I think about when I'm watching this. How long will it be before there's a movie made about the backstory of this?
Right.
Like the cast of characters that like got together.
They already interviewed that Oompa Loompa lady on like a UK channel. And they were saying like that they gave him scripts like the night before for their characters. It was like totally just a mess.
Like who? I just want. It's like it just reminds me of sort of
like the fire festival.
Yeah, like the fire festival. Like some tech bro or something.
Yeah.
Like Scotland's premier tech bro decided to set up
Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka's greatest adventure. Like.
I just
want to see what. Or it was just like some sort of Michael Scott,
like
kind of thing.
Good intentions,
good
gone
intentions.
Bad.
Like, yeah, we're gonna do this.
Then
they're just completely
just way over their head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully, there will be a documentary soon because I want to hear about it.
I want to see the Wes Anderson.
Look at this character before we leave. There,
oh,
people
who
were
is
like,
that supposed to be?
People pointed that out, that he has, this person is no character in any Wonka movie or anything. It was just some guy
just
holding a mirror. It's like, hey,
that's like, this is, there's a chilling backstory to this.
Oh my god, look at his hand, like how he's holding the mirror too.
It's he's like creepy, that's like, and he has like a hood on, right? Isn't that like Doctor Doom?
No, I think that's a wig.
Was that a wig?
That is a wig. Gosh. That is a terrifying wig.
That's pretty metal looking though.
It is. Looks like the new member of Slipknot. I think right. that's actually him, and this is what he does on the side to make money, you know.
Well, that was the party favors you get.
Right. Yes, exactly. See, we figured it
out. The next one is going to be in Ohio.
That's right. This is going to be at the Sonic Temple.
Sonic Temple.
Yeah, at the state penitentiary at the Incarceration Festival. They're going to have this Wonka Land.
Try on your straight jacket. If you don't, then fuck you.
Oh, that's terrifying.
What's all right.
Well, that's it for us this week, guys. Thanks for tuning in. RockNewsWeekly.com. Watch us on demand if you missed it. YouTube.com @RockNewsWeekly. And we'll catch you guys next time. All right. Have a good one. Peace.
All right. See ya.
Bye.